I have promised that I would introduce you to a woman who makes you both feel wonderful and good and warm inside and also makes you question yourself, oh, what am I doing with my life? May I introduce you to Lynette Hwang, who is, well, she's known as the chewing gum paper girl for a whole lot of interesting reasons. But let me just say that she is a Melbourne girl born and bred who is a complete overachiever. Thank you, Lynette, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Let's just get a little bit of family background, shall we? You are an amazing story, product of your parents' bravery, really, when they came from Vietnam under the Malcolm Fraser policies.
Yeah, that's correct. So my parents came in 1979. Actually, next month, they're celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary. I must share that now.
You must.
And my parents came and really started their life, I guess, in Springvale, in what was a hostel there. And from those really humble beginnings working on the manufacturing lines, they managed to save and rent out a place in Elizabeth Street in Richmond. And then my older sister was born and myself later in Blackburn, where we resided as well. But my parents came from, war-torn Vietnam. So they were in the refugee camp in Malaysia as well. And they actually don't talk about their story all too much. And I think it's really important to share their bravery, their courage, and the sacrifices that they made to actually give my sisters, so I've got a younger sister as well, but my sisters and I, the opportunities that we have today.
And such opportunities.
Yeah, that's right. So I think with education, all of us are now in the public health space. So it's really coming full circle and looking at how do we give back and make a difference, because our parents have inspired us with their journey.
Have they overtly said to you, you must give back?
No, not at all. I think it's really funny because I was recently volunteering in Mongolia for 14 and a half months, and my mom said, after this is enough. You've already volunteered for over 10 years of your life. It's enough. And I'm thinking, but you're my hero. This is never enough. All the abundances and the opportunities that surround us are because of my parents. And so they don't believe that, we have to give back. But then just looking at what my mom does in her day-to-day life for community organizations, for temples, it already makes you realize you have to do this. It's not even spoken. It's just
programmed.
Just have to. Yeah, it's in our blood.
What manufacturing line did they work on? Did they ever talk about that?
So my dad, I know my dad was working at Holden. And I think my mum was working at Ring Grip and Rosella.
Right.
So really back in the day.
Yeah. Probably doing two shifts.
Yeah, that's right. And really, really saving hard to get their first property, which is in Blackburn. And I think as someone now looking at, the apartment accommodation world, it's so expensive. So it's just to think, coming from nothing as well, how do you work so hard to be able to afford a place, which was only a two-bedroom place?
For the five of you?
Yeah, so there were five plus my aunt, so there are six of us. But, really small house, but we grew too big for it eventually.
Tell me about your education. What schools did you go to?
Vermont Secondary. Then I studied at Monash University, where I did a Bachelor of Arts Commerce degree. Mm-hmm. And then I did an internship here and then went back to study postgrad studies in Master of Public Health at University of Melbourne.
Well, now we're getting into the high achievy bit.
Yeah.
And your sisters?
So my older sister actually studied medicine. She's still doing the Masters of Public Health, which we both started together. And she's also got a pharmaceutical degree from Monash University
what?
As well. Yeah. And younger sister is based now in Nepal. And she studied at Monash as well, Bachelor of Science with a diploma, advanced diploma in French language. And then also did a master's at RMIT in social science.
Oh, my goodness. So what led you to volunteer in Mongolia? How did that happen?
I think for me, I've always known that I wanted to spend some time overseas and find a deeper way of giving back. The role almost was perfect for what I was looking for at the time. So I knew I was coming towards the end of my master's degree, and I thought, you know, what makes sense after a master's, a role that has public health in its title or something like that. So I started on my search and this role came about, and it was with the Australian Volunteers for International Development Program, and it kind of checked all my boxes. Like, yes, I've got skills in training. Yes, I've got skills and the capacity to help different organisations in public health advocacy around tobacco control, alcohol prevention, and healthy food. They're my favourite areas in public health. And then the last area was really around fundraising. And at the time, I just finished, like, wound up work with Cancer Council, looking after their Daffodil Day and Pink Ribbon Day campaign. So I was like, oh, this is weird. 5 ticks out of 3, I think I need to apply. Mm. Then the last detail was, oh, it's in Mongolia. I guess it's a country I should, you know, consider. And I asked a mentor about it as well, and he'd been there. So we found a good way to sell it to my parents if this were the path. And fortunately, I was invited to the interview round, and then got accepted and then mobilized in March the year before last, so 2015, and was there till June last year.
So with your parents celebrating their 40th wedding anniversary and your busy, ambitious, driven life, how do you find time for love yourself?
Oh, I think that's a really good question. The last few days I've probably reflected on it a bit more. But the things that are really important to me are maintaining a journal. So I write a journal entry every day, and I think that that's a good opportunity for me to reflect on lessons learned, the highlights from every day. So today, you'll be in my journal.
Gratitude journal.
And then also I think it's making sure that I do have that balance with exercise and, you know, checking in with friends and family as well. But other things, I guess the play does like have to kind of sit sometimes as well, and just looking at how do you put it back into your schedule when work deadlines come to the fore.
Can't run away from it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I think that, yeah, writing the journal is really helpful. While I was away in Mongolia, I was also sketching on the chewing gum paper. And, yeah, I think it's always fun because I do post them up every day on my social media channels, and I actually get quite excited to see what the following is.
By drawing little pictures on the back of
chewing gum papers. Yeah, and then I post them up onto Instagram. So they're at the hashtag 240 days of Mongolia. And I just get excited to see, like, oh, you know, I think it was like 3 days ago, one of my posts was really about just being grateful that I had a friend, a cobbler friend, who had fixed my broken shoes. And I just thought, you know, it's really funny. It's not the most sophisticated picture, but it has the most likes of all my ones, but it always just makes me giggle just to see what, you know, what people's tastes are, and also just that sharing element. I think it's really important to reflect on who made my time in Mongolia so special, and how do I like continue that conversation and grow that friendship.
So the gratitude part of things, even when you're driven, your whole modus operandi really comes from gratitude. Gratitude that your parents did what they did.
Yeah.
And you continue saying thank you by sharing lovely anecdotes and thoughts.
Yeah.
And making other people feel good.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think, like, even this ring that I'm wearing, this ring reminds me of the day that I thanked this lady, actually based in the Netherlands. And she and her brother-in-law saved my dad from drowning. And this ring means the world to me because it reminds me of that moment, but it also reminds me of my parents' refugee story and what it is that I need to do as well in this life.
So just that little humbling emotion of being grateful when everything's going around in your head, because you must still have negative thoughts in your head and you have to turn them off, don't you?
Well, I think...
Or have you eliminated that part of the human condition with that big smile of yours and that energy and drive?
I think that when you do have those negative thoughts, you actually should be looking for what's the lesson to be learned from it so that you can feel gratitude. And so I think it's always look for the positive. You know, I'm the crazy one that still sees unicorns and rainbows in the sky. But I think that, yes, unfortunately, there are some tough days, but there are ways that we should really embrace the networks that we have, seek out that help if we need it, or just take time out for yourself. And I think that's when you sit and reflect on, oh, what can I do better? Or what could I have done better? Or, you know, think of someone that you really admire or inspire to, and, you know, tell who is it, your mom, your dad, or one of your close friends. And I think there's always a good lesson to be learned from even a bad day or a negative
experience.
Yeah.
Well, you are a positive experience. I'm glad we got to this point. Thank you so much, Lynette, for joining us and having a conversation.
Thank you so much.
Lynette Fuang is currently working with
Info Exchange.
And what is Info Exchange?
So Info Exchange, I guess the mission is technology for social justice. It's the number one technology supplier to the Australian community sector. And I actually manage and lead two of the major digital literacy programs. So one is Go Digi and the other one is Digi House.
Well, I didn't expect it would be anything less complicated or high-powered or innovative. So thank you, Lynette, for joining us.
Thank you kindly.
Lynette Fuang, everybody.